Welcome to Sunday Conversation, another Sunday. Janae Renee.
And this is Teddy Reese.
How are you, Teddy?
I am great. I'm doing the best I can right now. You know, I'm on an emotional roller coaster. There's so much going on, you know, here in Columbus and across this country and right here in the state of Georgia. And it's just, you know, everyone's just on edge. You don't know what's coming, and you want to try to be prepared for it, but you know, lost for words.
So before we actually, you know, got on the air, we were kind of talking about Obama's farewell speech earlier this week. So I think we should just, you know, continue that conversation on the air, because I'm pretty sure our listeners, they're still discussing this, the event that took place last Tuesday, or his speech that took place last Tuesday.
Absolutely.
And we're all still on the emotional roller coaster, like you said. I will say, going into it, I said, I'm not going to cry. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to cry. And I was good. Until he started talking to Michelle and Malia and Uncle Joe Biden, as people call him on Instagram.
Yes.
And they just started flowing. And I just sat back and thought about, one, everything that I've personally gone through in the last 8 years, but just what he's gone through and the legacy he's going to leave and all the things that he has done. And then just from a man, like he said, it made him, being the president made him a better president and man,
right,
overall.
Right.
So just, it's just so much that you can say about President Obama and his family, the family in general.
What I think was so great about President Obama is, finally, African Americans were privileged to have an honorable, respected, perfect role model for black men and young boys.
Yes.
You know, in their faces every day, because we get hit so much with negativity, with what we see on the news, with, you know, the shootings and the robbings and the killings. I mean, look at what just happened in Orlando, Florida recently, where, you know, this guy shot and killed a black female police officer.
Right.
And, you know, and we just we don't get an opportunity to see too many positive examples of black men on the mainstream now. Now, don't get me wrong. There are tons of positive role models doing great things, black men in our communities.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, they don't have that platform that Obama had, you know, as president of the United States to show that, you know, black men can do positive things. As a black male, I will say it's tough sometimes. It's very tough because you never know how someone is perceiving you. You never know, you know, what they're thinking about you. And, you know, when I step on the elevator and I happen to step on the elevator with a middle-aged white woman and to see her grab her purse, and, you know, me saying to myself in my head, you know, ma'am, I'm the least threat to you than you will ever imagine.
Right.
You know, you are probably in more danger in your own neighborhood and your own home than you are right now with me.
Right.
In this elevator. But that's what black men like me, that's what we have to live with on a daily basis, and we have to know that we're constantly being judged. But for 8 years we had Obama out there, President Obama, who was that positive portrayal of a black man, you know, doing press conferences, meeting with world leaders, being respected all across this globe, and it was a moment of relief. I just get chills sitting here just thinking about, you know, how not necessarily the policies that he implemented, but just his presence. What that did for so many folks and so many people. And we can get into a day long argument about, you know, well, did he do enough for black people? Did he go far enough? Did he do enough for this country? You know, first of all, he was the president of all people.
Right.
And when you raise that hand, or when you volunteer yourself to be an elected official, you are saying that I'm going to represent the interests of the United States of America, of everyone, not a particular group, not a particular subset. And that's what's so nerve-wracking about, you know, this inauguration that we're going to be experiencing this Friday with President-elect Trump. You know, I just hope that there's some type of spirit in that office, or sitting in that Oval Office, and thinking about the changes that many presidents have gone through, thinking about FDR and the things he did, thinking about President Johnson and the signing of the civil rights legislation, and thinking about the true power and essence of the stroke of his pen, and that he would use that, you know, for a greater purpose.
You know, I'm always speechless when we bring up Donald Trump. I still have not actually grasped the fact that he's going to be the president of the United States. Maybe on Friday. I don't even know if I'm going to watch the inauguration, and that's just me being honest. Mm-hmm. But if I do, you know, maybe then reality will set in. It's like I know, but I'm still kind of in denial, especially coming behind someone like President Obama. And I'm just going to speak on a little bit how you did it from a male perspective, a black male perspective, and myself as a black female. I always look at it like, I don't have any children, but a lot of my friends' children and some of my relatives, this is the only president that they've known. So as a young black boy, a young black girl, they see what could have been impossible for their parents to even dream of, or grandparents or great-grandparents. Mm-hmm. That's all they know. You know, people that are 8 years old, you know, that's all that they know. So for me to see all of these children, and myself included as a young adult, when I voted him in office in 2008, anything's possible. That's what I got out of it. Right. And then, you know, I have to always shout out Michelle Obama. Like, yes. I love, love, love Michelle Obama. I really wanted to write her in as a write-in on the ballot. But, you know, Michelle told Oprah last week, I will not run for office ever. So, and I kind of wouldn't even want them to go through another 8 years, you know, under the scrutiny and all of the things. But as a female, and just seeing that entire representation from the from President to Michelle, Malia, Sasha, and I was reading something the other day, and they were saying for the first time in 30 years, this is the first family with no scandals.
Right.
You know, no scandals at all, but that's not being mentioned. And so they were just good role models, just overall. I'm just going to miss them. I'm going to miss their presence. And they also made being the first family relatable. Yes. Like, they welcomed everyone. You see how many people entered the White House that would have never dreamed of being in the White House at all. You know, so they made you feel like they were a family.
You know, Michelle, First Lady Michelle Obama wasn't on the ballot, but she was in essence an elected official.
Yeah.
She was held to that standard. She was held to that scrutiny. I mean, a very intelligent black woman in her own right. And, you know, an attorney herself, and before becoming first lady, she was a senior executive of the hospital there in Chicago, the big hospital there in Chicago. And she worked her way up the chain there. And you know, her poise and her class, you know, phenomenal.
He mentioned it in his speech. Remember, he said, you didn't ask for this, but you handled it with grace, which is what she did.
Absolutely.
Yes. You're listening to the best of Sunday Conversation with Janae Renee and Teddy Reese. It's Sunday Conversation with Janae Renee
and Teddy Reese.
And it's a new Sunday. Actually, the last Sunday of Black History Month.
Yes, with Janae Renee and Teddy Reese. Amazing month.
It has. Yes. It has. Yes. Let me shout you out. I know you had an event last week. I missed it. I'm sorry.
Oh, it was. How was it? The Black History Month Observance Breakfast was awesome. Congratulations again to Mr. Greg Davis Sr.
Yes.
For winning the Legacy of Leadership Award. And it was well deserved.
Well deserved, definitely. Great man. Great man.
Yes, he is.
All right. Speaking of great men, we got two great men in the studio with us today. Why don't you do the honors?
Absolutely. We have two gentlemen that I have the honor of calling great friends, but they are very progressive in the Columbus community and making big moves. And we're joined here today by Mr. Marquis Skinny Avery. And we also have with us Pastor Adrian Chester, the youngest pastor in Columbus, Georgia.
Oh, wow. Yes, okay.
Yes, sir. So
now, Skinny, can I call you Skinny, or you want me to call you Marquis?
You can call me Skinny.
Before we start this conversation. All right, Skinny it is.
Keep it informal.
All right, Skinny it is.
All right, well, we're going to call you Skinny. Well, you know, this Sunday, we're actually wrapping up our conversations on Black History Month. And, you know, the first two weekends of the month, we had wonderful conversations with some awesome people, Mr. Robert Anderson, Coach Wallace Davis, Ms. Evelyn Turner Pugh, and Ms. Della Jo Grimes. And they talked about Black history from, you know, from that perspective. But we don't want to leave out the millennials, the young people. Mm-hmm. So we want to have a conversation with you
folks
today.
Folks of the future.
Born and raised right here in Columbus, you've witnessed some progress. So we want to talk about some things. So just generally. Let's start out with a general question to you, Pastor Chester. Generally, how have you say Columbus's progress from when you were, you know, born and old enough to remember to where we are now?
Well, I would say generally Columbus is on the move. I think we're on the brink of something great. But comparing to when I was younger until now, progress has been slow, but it's steady. And I think one thing that it's attributing to that particular progress is there are a lot of millennials, a lot of people moving to this area with progressive mindsets. And there are a lot of people behind the scenes, such as Marquise on the grassroots efforts and many others who are just trying to push the wheel a little bit forward.
You know, it reminds me of the saying that favor ain't fair.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, and some people maybe look at it and say, it's not fair. This young guy is pastoring the church at such a young age, but you know what? God called you to something.
It is what it is.
You have to take the bull and run with it, right? Take the bull by the horns and run with it. So, you know, what has that been like for you? You know, being young and a part of a young millennial group that we see very few people in Columbus in the young age that are actually leading a very large organization like yourself. What are some of the challenges that you have?
Well, really, on a lighter side, just teaches me to not to go to Atlanta to party, but go completely out of state. but it's a joy. It's been a pain, mm-hmm. and to be surrounded by people who see the benefit of young leadership in this city, and to have people behind you. It's a blessing. It's a blessing and a curse. But it's cool, though.
Well, you know, you're being used in a way to move a city and to build a army of other folks to come behind you. And that's absolutely
Well, I wouldn't
phenomenal.
Necessarily say come behind me, but to walk alongside.
To walk alongside. Yes. All right. Well said. We're going to be politically correct.
Yes.
Okay, I got you. Mr. Avery, my friend, Skinny. Skinny, you know, I certainly got excited about hearing your take because, you know, you have some of your actions, and I know some folks out there in radio land may not want us, you know, like, may not like what I'm about to say, but a lot of your actions have been reflective of some of the civil rights leaders, your willingness to be arrested for what you feel is right out there on the street, you know, your willingness to help organize marches and rallies so that the public is actually being heard. Do you think that those items have been productive for you? And what do you see as far as what the young people may need to do in the future to continue that type of message, getting out there, exercising the freedom of speech?
Well, definitely, Teddy, you and Mr. Janae Renee, I want to thank y'all for having me and Brother Adrian here on the show. One of the things that I realized about activism is that probably is a lesson that an unlikely person would have taught me. And it came from Teresa Tomlinson, the mayor. When she was first running for mayor, she said that 90% of the job is in just showing up. When you look at our community, you know, the problems that we face and how we take them on, you know, Columbus is always kind of at the end of things, of trying to get things going. And so a lot of times I find myself saying, you know, well, if not me, then who? Mm-hmm. And so I'm willing to stand up for what is right.
That's
you
right.
know, I'm willing to put my life on the line. I'm willing to, you know, sacrifice for my family because I believe that, you know, that standing up for what's right is our moral obligation to this community and to this world, so that the path that we blaze, you know, will help generations of young people. And so that's why, you know, I like having conversations like this because it's vitally important for us to be involved in our community. It's vitally important for us to you know, resist injustice and inequality. And so I want to be a part of that. And so for many years, I've, you know, just tried to be a voice for those that have been disenfranchised and those that have been wrote off and those that have been marginalized. And, you know, a lot of people think that, oh, you got to have a fancy degree or you got to, you know, have a nice job title or you got to come from a prestigious family to serve your community. And that's just not the case. You know, just as you are, you know, you can do a lot for your community. And I think that that's a message that we ought to pass on to other young men and women alike.
So let me ask you a question. Do you think that it's, it's kind of a two-part question. First, how do you get more youth involved in the same things that you are doing, you know, standing up for their rights, activism, and things like that? And then when you look at the youth today and what they are doing, do you think that they are having the same effect as maybe people who were marching and stuff back in the day, right here in Columbus? Not overall, but just right here in Columbus.
Well, I think that this is something Teddy always talks about, is that, you know, it's young people that have led, you know, every movement in American history.
Right.
And this time, you know, with our moving forward, will be no different. I think young people are engaged, you know. Can they be more engaged? Absolutely. But I think that one thing that gets young people engaged is talking about issues that directly affect them. You know, when you get to talking about taxes and healthcare and
I hate to say it, politics.
You know, the environment or something like that. It's kind of, but I think that marches still work, you know. I think that protests still work, you know. I think you can't just march and protest and think that your job is over, you know.
I think that's what I see a lot of times on social media. I was having a conversation about a week or so ago that I feel a lot of people, young people, get out here and march just to get a like on Instagram, mm-hmm. or get a share on social media. So it's like, how do we get them to really understand this is a problem? So if you're out here marching, be out here marching for the right reason and not because this person over here is doing it or it's the cool thing to do.
Well, you know, we definitely have a lot of social media activists, you know. They'll gladly go to Twitter and sound off in 140 characters. But you won't see them in the streets. You won't see them doing anything. And so I think that that's a big part of it, too. We got to, you know, we can't just say, well, you know, I posted something on Facebook, so, you know, I done did my part for my community. No, we got to, you know, start going to PTA meetings. We got to start going to the church, you know. The church has been a bedrock in the African American community. You know, we got to start getting engaged in civic organizations and, you know, just start playing our part.
You know, the churches have been a bedrock, but unfortunately, lately, we've seen a lot of pastors being attacked on social media and in other places, you know, because of their involvement, you know. And it, when I think of it, I look at it from a two-pronged approach, you know. When a pastor is pastoring his church and leading his people, that's his calling by God, but they are still an individual.
Right.
And do they not still preserve the individual right to express what too impacts them?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they do. And Pastor Chester, you know, you may want to chime in on this because I know, you know, people have said some things about you and your involvement and things of that nature. And I haven't necessarily looked at it as fair criticism because you're still an individual. You still pay taxes.
Yes, sir.
You know, you went to school in this school district, this system. You grew up here. Mm-hmm. Your family-owned business is here. They've contributed to the Columbus economy. And you know, but you still remain that man of God and man of respect. And you don't necessarily respond or get down to their level. You know, you remain up top. How do you maintain that composure? And what role do you see pastors playing, you know, in leadership in Columbus? And don't tell me you pray about it. I don't want to hear the other side. I want to know, as the man.
Yes, sir.
Because we are still flesh and bone.
Yeah.
But as the man, how do you maintain yourself?
So I take great wisdom from Howard Thurman, who was a mentor to Dr. Martin Luther King. And Howard Thurman took the approach. He says, you know, for social, civic, or political change, you need people on every front. Mm-hmm. You need people outside in the streets. Mm-hmm. You need the activists in the streets. You need the academics teaching and motivating others. And also you need those, sitting at the table with mm-hmm. elected officials saying, hey, this is what the persons in the streets want.
That's right.
That you got to have different people, a part of your team, part of your squad, that everybody can't go about it the same way. So all of us, we have to, as Marquise was sharing, you know, you have to pick that particular arena in which you know you're going to be most effective.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, marching, that's not my thing, but I ain't going to knock Marquise for doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to work my area, but we have to be a cohesive unit
right.
of letting everybody know this is what we want. this is how we're gonna get it done. And so that's how I really deal with it. I stay in my lane, stay in my vein. That for me is the academy, the bringing up. You know, I refer back to a lot of the times in anything that I do, Oprah Hendrix, the politics of Jesus. That if you're gonna expose the workings of oppression, you got to call the demon by name. You got to say that, hey, that's wrong.
That's wrong.
But not only saying it wrong, I have to then empathize and say I have to make that injustice my injustice. Mm-hmm. And say if, you know, although it didn't happen to me, it happened to somebody just like me.
You're listening to the Best of Sunday Conversation with Janae Renee and Teddy Reese.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
You're listening to the Best of Sunday Conversation with Janae Renee and Teddy Reese. Okay, we're going to move forward.
Get me started.
We're going to move forward all with right. this conversation. As promised, in the studio with us, we got Miss Nika with Innovative Supplies. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. All right, so we want to talk to you about, we're kind of highlighting people in Columbus that are doing big things right here in the city, and we kind of want to highlight you for Innovative Supplies. Just kind of tell our listeners a little bit about what it is.
So it's a school supply manufacturing company here in Columbus, Georgia, and what we do is we actually make and manufacture notebooks from scratch, top to bottom, what you would see in a notebook here in Columbus, Georgia. And we hire teenage students in the local area and give them some summertime employment.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's nice. So how did you even come up with this? How did this even come about?
So I wanted to go to school last year when I left the military. I did 9 years in the military, and I was looking for a new chapter, a new start in my life, and I decided school was the best option for me. I wanted to get my degree in history and teach high school here in my hometown. And I said, I need some innovative supplies to bring in there and really just set this groundbreaker for me of I'm going to go in focused. And I felt like it was something that I could market to other people, and it worked. So
now I heard that you, I think Soul was telling me, you all sold out in like 24 hours. You sold how many copies?
Over 8,000 notebooks were bought in the first 24 hours.
Wow.
How did you market that?
I did one paid advertisement on the Shade Room, the Instagram account for the Shade Room. I just knew that the market that I was trying to approach into wasn't tapped in. And so I went for it, and I saw that it needed to happen, and I made it happen.
So do you find your market to be a lot of educators, or?
Well, right now I'm targeting the students, but I would definitely want to reach out to the educators and show them the products and work with the educators this year. But basically, it's been parents and students who bought from us last year.
So why would a student want to buy your notebook or your supplies?
Well, our notebooks and our supplies are themed around urban, edgy art, but also innovative art. So if you're not wanting just a red notebook or a blue notebook right. or a green notebook, and you want to sit in front of something for 8 hours and it kind of motivates you and give you a purpose or a direction or just something that you can feel confident about, our supplies would be that for you.
Wow.
That's what's up. Now, I was going to ask, how can people get them? Or, you know, is it online, your website?
Right, innovativesupplies.net. And then also we have a booth space inside of the Bluebell Artist Market that's on Exit 8 by the IHOP parking lot. And what it is it's like a 10,000 square foot space of creative artists that rent out booths inside that space and bring their products in there to sell. And so we have a booth inside of there, and it's open Monday through Sunday for anyone that's interested in coming by to look at our products.
Now, where is this location again?
Exit 8.
You missed it.
Exit 8, right next to the IHOP parking lot.
Now, you're doing notebooks. Are you thinking of expanding to anything else?
We definitely want to expand into more school supply base.
Wait a minute, let me help you help with this, because here in Columbus, you know, we talk exit names. We don't know numbers.
Exit names.
Exit 8, that's
airport three-way.
Okay, all right, airport three-way, everybody.
I just saw
a Facebook post on this about 3 weeks ago, and one guy was like, you know you from Columbus when you don't know the exit numbers. You just know Macon Road, Buena Vista, St. Mary's, and Airport Three-Way. So she's talking about Airport Three-Way.
We had moved on from
the
that.
I'm sorry.
Beside the IHOP. Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm a numbers person. I'm more numbers than I am. I'm just a number. I love numbers.
I can't believe that you would say that, because I honestly, or maybe it was Atlanta. When I moved to Atlanta, they would always say exit 8. In St. Louis, we do streets too.
Yeah.
So when I came here, I had to learn the exit numbers.
Oh.
So I'm like, that's why I'm surprised that
so
you would
Macon
say
Road?
That.
Six.
Macon is 6.
Who's talking about get off on exit 6?
Me?
You get off on Macon Road. Get by the library.
Anywho,
when I'm your notebooks here today, and yes, it is very, very
super
creative.
Cute.
Thank you.
I could look at that for like 8 hours and
I
be
just
like,
bet you could.
You know, in comparison to what I saw when I was in school,
right,
you're absolutely right.
Right.
It was solid yellow, mm-hmm, a solid red, mm-hmm, a solid blue.
I do want to let our listeners know the reason why he could look at it for 8 hours is because Beyonce is on the cover of it. So I'm going to go with that.
I don't know what you're trying to infer. I love my wife.
I know you do.
And
I feel like you like looking at Beyonce too.
She looks like you.
Oh, whatever.
Okay. All right.
Anywho, Nika,
yeah, let's
go forward.
Thank you for your patience. Janae is a distractor, and she will get you off topic. All right.
Okay, going forward, are you looking to do anything outside of notebooks? Anything more?
We want to definitely reach into pencil sharpeners, pencils, pencil boxes, book bags, and then we definitely want to branch into apparel as well and get our own line of t-shirts and sweatpants, sweatshirts. So definitely looking to do more this year.
Okay.
Let's talk about prices, because, you know, a lot of people have unique products, and then they price people out of it, like, we keep telling our folks we need to eat healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you can't get nothing at Whole Foods for $5.
Right.
You know, but
exactly.
I can get a whole meal at McDonald's. So, mm-hmm. Are they reasonably priced?
They are reasonably priced at what our competitors are pricing their notebooks at for artwork. Until we get the infrastructure and the manufacturing equipment and machinery that can mass produce for us to lower our volume significantly, we do have to cover our overhead and our expenses, mm-hmm, unfortunately, up front to take care of that so that we can bring this product. But when we expand and grow, we definitely will bring our prices down. Not too much,
right,
because we do want to sustain a profit year after,
right,
year, but we definitely will bring it down just a little bit, and we'll do discounts and giveaways over the years as well.
That's
so
awesome.
Definitely.
Okay.
That is
okay.
So awesome. Right here in Columbus, Georgia.
Yes.
Made it happen and doing big things, and this is so awesome. And, you know, this is the type of spark that we talk about in education when we talk about, you know, thinking outside of the box, thinking creativity. Because, you know, you walk in some schools, we've done a lot of work with the local schools here. You know, I've done a lot of work with climate and understanding school climate and how that impacts education.
Definitely.
But, you know, you can walk in some schools and it's like a boring box.
Definitely.
Like, how can you inspire, motivate a child, mm-hmm, to learn, mm-hmm, when the walls feel like they're sitting in an insane asylum or something?
I agree. I mean, I'm from Kendrick High School. I graduated in 2007, and our 10-year reunion is this Sunday. So I know exactly what you mean about it feels like an asylum, just because the walls are just so bland. There's no artwork. But I feel like it's changing. The atmosphere is definitely changing at Kendrick. I was just there the other day, and I was talking to the department that they have at the Magnet, and it's a very nice department that they have there for the students that are doing graphics and communication, yes. Their department there is amazing. I love their department, and they're doing big things at Kendrick this year.
You see how Nika just nicely corrected me, even though I said the wrong word. Thank you, Nika.
What was the word?
I corrected me.
What was the word?
I don't even want to attempt to say it again, but you said it correctly.
I'm sorry.
Janae wouldn't have been that nice. You know,
I didn't.
But you just plugged it in and you kept on going. Shout out to you. Can you come back next week?
I can. Have me here. Have me. I'll be here.
When I look at the artwork and I'm looking at this folder right here and it has Beyonce on it, how do you pick the illustrations of the artwork that you put on
folders? What I did last year was I just saw a bunch of different artwork on Instagram and I loved it and I screenshotted it and I was like, man, I want to use this one day down the line. And when this notebook idea came around, that's when I reached out to the artist, told them what we were doing. I either bought the artwork outright, owning the rights, or working with them and giving them royalties for each notebook that was sold. So what I'm trying to do is inspire and help support starving artists is what they like to say. I don't believe they're starving. It's just they need to expand their network.
A little bit more.
And so once they expand their network, they're no longer a starving artist because when you expand, you're able to push more product out there to your service areas.
All right. So. Sounds good. Well, before we let you go, again, just let everyone know how they can get one of your supplies.
Definitely. InnovativeSupplies.net. And on May 31st, we're going to be holding an open house at our office of 710 Front Avenue for the community of Columbus, Georgia, just to come and get an understanding of what we do in the community and how we plan to operate and support the community this year.
And is it on social media?
Yes.
Have a social media
we
page?
Have an Instagram, a Twitter, and a Facebook, Innovative Supplies.
All right. Speaking with Nika of Innovative Supplies, we appreciate you coming in this
Thank
Sunday.
You.
And
Thank
I'm not
you.
Sure if you're a mother.
I am. Okay. I have a 5-year-old daughter.
All right. Well, happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank
All
you so
right.
Much,
you're listening to the Best of Sunday Conversation with Janae Renee and Teddy Reese. The views and expressions of Sunday Conversation are not the views of Davis Broadcasting Incorporation, advertisers, nor their staff.